Welcome to our 48th episode of the Gutenberg Changelog podcast. In today's episode, we will talk about the release week with WordPress 5.8 out the door, followed by the new WordPress.org pattern directory and Gutenberg 11.1. We'll also discuss what's next with Gutenberg. I'm Birgit Pauli Haag, curator at the Gutenberg Times, and I'm here with my co-host, Jagos Chalkowski, Code Wrangler Automatic and WordPress Core contributor on the Core Editor team. Good afternoon, Jagos. How are you doing?
Good afternoon. I'm great. Feeling relaxed. It's the middle of the summer. The weather is good. It's so nice to meet you again. So how are things on the other side of the Atlantic Ocean?
Oh, we are getting ready to jump over it on a plane to head to Germany in a week. And we are glad that we finally can visit our parents after 2 years. Well, so we stay for a while and work from home, like the real home, kind of. We think of our parents' homes for home still. So yeah, we're getting quite excited and we'll stay for a long time. For 5 weeks to 8 weeks. So it's really, our parents are delighted. It's the least to say about it. So, and...
That's really exciting. And also we will be, you know, on the same side of the ocean when you fly to Germany, and also it's the country next to Poland. So that's
right.
Exciting.
We will same
be
time
a few
zone.
Hours away.
same time zone. That's... Yeah. Makes scheduling so much nicer. Yeah. But I don't think we're going to travel a lot to other places than just the hometowns, like Munich and Saarbrücken and Freiburg, Kensingen. So we're more on the southeast side than on the northwest side or northeast side. So, but I will go back to Poland very, very soon. I really loved Warsaw. And when I was there, it's now 5 years ago. Yeah, and I met so many nice people there. It was really great. I want to go to Krakow. I want to go to Danzig. And yeah, so the German word. So it's really...
You should go visit Wrocław, my hometown.
Yes.
It's 8 hours away from Munich by car. So I recommend that one.
Yeah, I definitely do that. So, but getting back to our changelog here, what's being released. So there was a lot of things happening in the WordPress space this week, especially around Gutenberg and the new features in WordPress 5.8. And we will catch up with it also in upcoming episodes. But for this week, I'm quite dizzy from all the releases. So
WordPress 5.
I don't know how you all do it. I think it's a lot of people are working on it, and WordPress 5.8, Tatum is out. It's named after the American jazz pianist Art Tatum. And if you ever had hear him play, there are quite a few videos on YouTube that I played them. And he's a virtuous jazz pianist player. It was just amazing to listen to it. So, but the release is the reflection of hard work of 530 generous volunteer contributors. Collaboration occurred on over 320 tickets on track and over 1,500 pull requests on GitHub. Well, these are mind-boggling numbers, but that's what Matt Mullenweg wrote in his release announcement. So yay, contributors. And yay, Gutenberg team.
Yeah, that release is spectacular in my opinion. One of the biggest in the, at least since I joined the Gutenberg core team and I'm contributing to core. And this release is really packed with new features, as probably our listeners already know, because we talked about them quite a lot. This is the block with the widget editor, template editor, duotone feature, list view, and the new preference model. And also, it's not only the WordPress 5.8, it's also new WordPress packages. All the updates were published just after the release went out. So if someone is using pieces of WordPress in a different way, they also can benefit from all the same functionalities. plus everything that was added to the Gutenberg plugin after the release was cut out.
That's awesome. Yeah, so those who use Gutenberg and Drupal, or those who use Laravel, also get these updates in their system. So, and on the evening of July 20th was the release date for 5.8, but on the evening, the Meta team also announced that the first version of the WordPress pattern directory is live, and it comes with a ton of curated block patterns that were curated by the design team as well. And now you can just copy paste them into your block editor. How cool is that? Block patterns are available in 13 languages. So the polyglots not only had to translate the WordPress 5.8, but also block pattern sites. So many more languages will follow. So shout out to the polyglot team that had to work on a lot of more translations than usual for a release. And I think 55 locales, that not necessarily languages, but 55 locales are actually 100% already finished the translation for 5.8. That's really amazing. Yeah,
that's impressive. It's always amazing.
Yeah, and the pattern directory has, I don't know, over 80 patterns in there, and the patterns themselves are also released. There was a moment in time before the release where you saw the same pattern in 15 different languages. Yeah, it was just interesting. Yeah, where you had all the Korean signs and the Chinese signs and then the Hebrew. It was, I say, wow, this is amazing. Yeah, it's a worldwide project. And sometimes we forget about it, but when you see all the languages coming in, it's so eye-opening for me.
Yeah, but this is not all, because we had blog widgets editor enabled. So the BuddyPress team, they released a new version, 9.00, and it contains they transform all the legacy widgets into blocks, so you can use them now with the on this widgets screen. And that's a great way to start with block when you try to convert shortcodes or widgets into blocks. And then of course on Wednesday the Gutenberg team released Gutenberg 11.1.
Yeah, that's a good point with converting widgets and shortcodes into blocks. Yeah, I think you can connect with the BuddyPress team, and if you have trouble, kind of connect with them and see what they did and how they did it and what trouble they had and how they overcome that. I think it will be a good way to start if you haven't worked with blocks yet. So now Gutenberg 11.1 comes with a lot of enhancements. And I really like that release, because some of the blocks actually got some additional features. And it was more a content creator and those who work with blocks to actually publish things get a lot more features now again after many, many releases where it was more about foundations and it was more about the future of Gutenberg rather than the here and now.
Yeah, I think that's the benefit of having this big WordPress release out, that contributors can finally focus on bringing maybe not like a big features, but some small enhancements, some small improvements, better workflows that improves the daily work for the whole group of people who are using Gutenberg, not only those who are waiting for full site editing, but also all the users that use it for a few years now and can like benefit from all the feedback shared during that time, that's now materialized into nice user experience.
Yeah, and speaking about user experience, Ella van Dorp has added a PWA, and we talked about it, I think, in the last show, a little bit about it, but it's a PWA is a progressive web app that you can install on your mobile phone. And she has normally the front end of a website is installed as a PWA on a mobile phone, but the back end lives from the mobile responsive side of the desktop version. But Ella did something else, and it allows the WordPress admin to be installed separately as a home screen, and you have easier access, and it's separated from the front end. And I tested it yesterday quite a bit, and it works very well for adding content to a site from your mobile phone. I used it together with a Hypernotes plugin. That's a private notes taking app. And it works very well with the PWA features there. So I can make notes when I'm on the plane on my phone. And when I'm on the internet again, it kind of updates the site when I'm back online. So that's really cool. There is some
The offline support is only for the plugin you mentioned that Ella published together with this change, because I don't think that it would work out of the box for the regular post or page publishing.
Yeah, I need to test this. This is right now, it's a theory.
Yeah, but I guess that's the ultimate goal, to have this support. That would be a game changer for all the content creators. They could just write wherever they want.
Yeah, that's kind of the aim for it, I hope. Yeah, there is there might be some overlap just for those who test it out with the PWA plugin that the WordPress team at Google put in the repository and has already had quite a few installs. I think about 40,000 installs, active installs. But I saw on those PR notes or issue notes that one of the developers, Weston Rudder, is actually actively working on the Google PWA plugin to avoid any possible conflict with the Gutenberg WA experiment there. So we'll see how that works out. Good.
Yeah, and we have some enhancements also to the blogs. Like one of them is that list the blog. It has now link color control. And for instance, columns block, it has a new feature which allows to stack columns on the mobile screen. So, you know, instead of having six columns displayed in a tiny screen, now you can enforce the setup where it just like every column takes the full width of the screen. So it's a very nice second enhancement that probably many website owners had to work around with CSS. Now it's natively supported.
Yeah, and it is supported without actually mobile breakpoints, because those are moving targets. So if you don't have to set them out, but we could if you want to. So the PR that's linked in the release notes, there were quite a few discussions and design testings, and everybody shared what they work how they worked it out and what still needs to be done. So I find it quite educating to go through that and read up about what the problems were, how they were solved, and how they fixed the edge cases on it. So sometimes just go and read up about some of those PRs. Also in this release, the post term block now has a separate attribute for the separator. So sometimes you want to separate them by comma. I think that's the default separator of the post terms. So when you have multiple categories or multiple tags for a post, you can now also decide on the separator. You could even use emoji as a separator, I've seen. That's quite funny.
I think there is also for the tag cloud block, there were some changes that removed editors styles that were causing the different presentation in the editor and on the front end. So I don't see that so often these days, but there are still cases that are actively being improved, and that's great, because the goal is just to have one-to-one experience, especially with the full site editing view. That will be very important, because people don't want to jump between the preview and the editing mode too often. And, you know, and you are in one canvas, not like in Customizer when you have this sidebar and you edit inside there. It's like just one place to edit everything.
Yeah, and that's a little bit different from the block editor in the post and page screen. When you go there on preview, you open up the front end and look at it. But in the template editor, that's not how the preview works. So it's a little bit different for the template editor. Yeah, and I just read it again, and I really like that you now have the ability to change the number on the tags that are shown. So if an editor kind of puts 20 tags on a post, but your designer says, okay, we only show 5 of them. So you can put this in as a setting on the tag cloud block. There's also for the link editing, it was a little bit cumbersome, or you have to figure it out by osmosis, I guess, how to unlink a section from the link. And there's now an unlink button. It's more on the link control popover. So it's more a link rather than a button. But now you can just click on it and the link disappears again. So, which I think is nice. It's a fast way to do this.
Yeah, there is also very important enhancement that we probably should mention earlier. This is the change for the list view. So now there is support for drag and drop functionality. So previously you would have to go to the canvas of the editor and just grab one of the blocks, which is, you know, some blocks are very, take a lot of space. So sometimes it's really hard to precisely pick the place or scroll the screen. Now you have this much smaller like handles because it's just the one row in the list view and you can just take it and drag it to another place. It's much more smoother experience and much more easier to put the block exactly where you want, especially when there is a few levels of nesting.
Yeah, it's a really nifty feature. Yeah, it's wonderful. I tested it out and I'm just, wow, this is a game changer. Now you can put something that's off the screen, grab it and move it just up to a higher place on the post without having to screen things or how to kind of, if you don't get it right in the selection and then you, it's so much nicer because the drag and drop from off the screen to up the screen, off the screen, it was kind of a little cumbersome. But if you use a list view, drag and drop, it's so much easier to change things around. So yay, Gutenberg team.
Yeah, the one thing that I just thought about is, can you drag something from the list view to the editor or the other way around?
No, you just drag it up and down the list view, but it will be copied on the editor. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It's like, yeah, because, you know, I don't know if it's something that people would want, but nice technical challenge, right?
Yeah, that's a testing challenge. Yeah, good. Yeah, and then
I just wanted to tell that there is one, like a small enhancement. So when there is only one block in the drop-down menu in the block toolbar, that's from the three dots icon, you could move to even there was only one block, which wasn't possible. So now this is fixed. And so it's more like a bug fix in my opinion, but it's also an enhancement for the experience.
Yeah. And in the same region is pretty much the disable the post publish button if it's saving non-post entities. So yeah, so if the meta tags or something like that is saved, not meta box items, that are in post meta. Also the preferences have polished label and consolidated option in the preference model that was just released. And of course it's the second iteration of it and it gets some new updates there.
Yeah, I really like this new preference, not that new, but the way how it evolved and everything is consolidated in one model that makes it easier to discover all the options that are there.
Yeah, I'm just still not getting, for many, many years. Now I can say it for many, many years. It's more than 3. I would like to have the block manager be a little bit more feature rich, because if I switch off a block, I would really want to know if I used it multiple times, especially when it's a block that comes from plugins. If I want to do a review on the, which blocks did I use and all that, I need a separate plugin to do that. And I think it would be really helpful if it were out of the box in the block editor. But I'll try my best and I'm kind of, there are some good plugins out there that can be a good inspiration for it. So that's
I agree.
Soapbox of the block manager.
On this note, we can move to the new API section. And there are two changes there. One of them is in the Gutenberg plugin, we have now a stable, new stable endpoint, which allows developers to get the list of block editor settings. So it's more or less the same what is exposed from the server for every instance of the editor. But this one is a nice way to grab the same set of settings for special way of dealing with the editor, like the mobile app is a great example because this is the actual use case in this case. But it also gives the opportunity for other plugin developers to find ways to like build their own instance of the editor and have all the settings. And the other change is that we have now a new search control component that's inside the WordPress components package or under wp.components.globalnamespace inside the editor. And this control was used in a few places, so it was just extracted to make it available for third-party usage, which is a really nice simplification if someone needs that UI interaction.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Yes. Yeah. Back to the block editor settings. What kind of settings would that be? Is it per block or is it the editor itself? Is it
It's per screen.
Okay.
So now at the moment, you can just have, there are two different screens out of the box. One of them is for the widgets and the other one is for the post/page editor, which it's hard to tell what will happen with the site editor, if it will be a new screen in the future, but you know, that's the distinction. And so what you get from there is like, there's a set of some default settings, like all the types of the images you can use in the editor, or you can get a list of color presets. You can get the list of font size presets. You can, you know, it's like there's all those features that you have and some of them can be customized and like changed by the plugin with a big range of filters. But in general, it's like all those things that you would like to customize for your site and that's like set on the server.
All right. Yeah. So it would it also be something like the screen has a full site editing mode or the spotlight on or something like that? Is that part of that endpoint?
Yeah, some of those settings might be there. Like if the full site editing theme is enabled, that would be one of the settings. But for the spotlight, I think it's only on set on the client side.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, it's just...
Right, yeah.
Yeah. The best way to check is just go to the WordPress code base and check all those options. Maybe it's documented somewhere. If not, we probably should do that and expose in the developer documentation.
Yeah. So I'm assuming then when from the list that you had is reads the theme JSON file or from the theme as well. So you get all the color palettes and all that. Good.
It compiles from the different sources. So it's not only that, but also some existing functions that are in the WordPress for quite long that you would normally use, like, as for instance, a set of image presets, like, you know, the thumbnail, large, and so on. And yeah, just consolidated until, in one API. So I know that for the REST API endpoint, there is always an API schema. So this is a good way. So probably this is how it will be documented because this will be published to the REST API documentation. So we'll have automatically generated docs there.
Excellent, excellent. So that's definitely a place to, when you write plugins or themes, to check it out and see if you can refactor some of your work before, because that is now much easier to do. Well, there were just some performance features. One is we talked about the list view, and the team also improved quite a bit the performance on it. So that's all in one package, but it's on different places here. in the changelog. There was also an accessibility. There are quite a few accessibility improvements here, but one is highlighted that the high contrast mode is now available for the icon buttons. And so that certainly is for those who are visually a little bit impaired. Then there were 34 bug fixes, and there are some of them are cosmetic, some of them are just some edge cases. And yeah, like the search block got the search block button position dropdown had some accessibility issues that are fixed, and now you can change the border radii. Sometimes when the Italian word has a different plural, sometimes it makes it into English language and sometimes it doesn't. Like comma and commas, it doesn't, but radius and radii does it. So that's why I'm kind of a little chuckling when I'm reading through this. Yeah.
Yeah, there was also a bug fix for the duotone feature. So now it allows to avoid rendering duplicate style sheet and SVG files. And I, as far as I remember, there was also a change that consolidates all the changes to duotone and it's moved to the footers. So that improves the readability of the DOM tree, which helps with CSS styling. And there was also some technical change. So that was targeting the widget screen. So that's shows how the backward compatibility is important in WordPress. So in the past, long, long before the Gutenberg was a thing, there was a classic editor that was exposed under wp.editor-global. And when the Gutenberg was born, it was also put under the same namespace, which probably wasn't the best idea in retrospect. But to work around that, there is now a special, it's so-called shim, that allows those two objects to coexist, and they just merge together and ensure that all the functionality is exposed also on the widget screen.
Excellent. Yeah. Thank you.
And I know that there was also a last time change for WordPress 5.8. So there was this fix for select all. So if you are using Mac, Command A shortcut. And so the way it worked in WordPress 5.7 was if you wouldn't have any selection, it would just copy all the blocks. Whereas for WordPress 5.8, it didn't quite work, but eventually the last approach was that if you have, like if you click anywhere in the editor's canvas, then it will copy all blocks. But if you use this Command A shortcut, when you click, for instance, on the header, then it will just work as in on other websites. So it's like there's this distinctions that in my opinion makes sense, but might be confusing for users if they are familiar with the old behavior.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, thank you for pointing that out. Yeah, I didn't realize that, but it makes total sense. Yeah, there is what we heard from the tags blog where the editor screen and the front end screen is kind of matching the layout. That goes actually, some of the bug fixes were these kind of changes where some of the styling that was applied to a block or after the block has been removed so it better matches the front end. And so that is goes through quite a few of those updates here. And for those who work on the theme JSON and try to switch off and on some of the features like the color duotone or the spacing units, you now can add empty values. So it will in the JSON file to signal that there is no feature for that. Okay. All right. That brings us to the, well, there is one item that's highlighted that extracts snack bars into a separate component. Yeah. Is it lunchtime yet?
I'm after lunch, so
you're
it made you hungry.
Made me hungry, yes, yeah. So
it's a funny name for this little pop-up that shows up in Gutenberg on the bottom left of the screen after you do some impressive action, like you publish a post. And there was some issue with the layering. So this is the Z index in CSS. So it was covered with something, it was fixed, and it was also extracted to its own section in the abstraction that is built inside the block editor, which is called in layout in the interface package. So there is some planned follow-up work for all the notices to be, have a special handling. So they are always displayed on top of everything else.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, makes sense. So it's not covered up and people don't know if it worked. Thank you.
Yeah, and now we can go to experiments. We have 16 items in this section. So it's not the usual number we saw in the past, because some of those experiments are now in core. So
or are in the Gutenberg plugin. Yeah, they're not necessarily all in core, because the full site template editor is not yet in core, the site editor kind of screen, but it's out of experimentation and the plugin. So yes, when you install it, you have it right away and don't have to look in experimentation. Yeah. So the experiments are actually only three sections now. That's the component system. That's a G2 we talked about quite often already, but it's now getting into the plugin. And then there's the navigation block and the screen and the global styles that are still in experimentation.
Yeah, in the component system, we have a new experimental component, so to speak, and it's called Flyout. And initially, the idea was to call it Popover, but this name is already taken by the existing component, but it has some different mechanics. And it was really hard to map the new functionality to the old one. So the decision was made to just introduce a new one. And the follow-up work is planned to use this layout in as many places as possible and figure out if the old components still need to exist or it can be deprecated, or maybe, maybe the name will be Popover after all. It's really hard, all those changes for the UI to make it happen, especially when you know that so many projects use those components, which is mm-hmm. both humbling but also brings this complexity.
Yeah. So if a plugin developer develops a block or something like that, they could use all those components, right? And experiment with it.
Yeah, I mean, they can, but there is no guarantee that the API will stay. And they are also prefixed with __ experimental. So, it's use it and on your own risk.
Don't try this at home.
Always like when you are in States, you just need to sign a waiver before you using any of the excursion or
and the navigation block is getting some attention now that it all the widget things is at least released and in its second iteration and has quite a few changes there, be it from color options for the submenu to improved handling of the overlay to the inheritance of the placeholder for the menu item, and also working on also made it into the release is a refactor of the navigation block rendering using a location attribute. Yeah.
Yeah, the changes for global styles sound very technical, even for me.
Yeah, and we talk about that a little bit on a higher level when we talk about what's next for Gutenberg. In the changelog, we're coming to the documentation section, and that definitely had quite some updates that are interesting for the developers that working on extending Gutenberg.
Yeah, I guess it's for the block API and for block editor API. This is something I work on. It's all the content that you would be familiar if you read dev notes for the same topic, but it's brought to the documentation. I think the more interesting part for myself is the team JSON changes. And we have now examples and highlighted backward compatibility usage. So that's quite important thing to look at if you are experimenting with this Team JSON format.
Yeah, and with that, of course, came an update on the format with the WordPress 5.8 changes. Yeah.
And also for this, for the same topic, I think the biggest challenge now is that there is still an active development. So new features are added. So in the documentation, it needs to be very clear what's already in WordPress core and what's part of the Gutenberg plugin experience. So I think there's also an entry and a change that covers that.
Okay. Yeah. No, that's a good point. I think the last few years, there was quite some confusion. Yeah, is especially when you have plugins and you need to gear it towards multiple versions of WordPress. Yeah, who's in 5.7, who's in 5.6, and yeah, to kind of make that all work with, even if the new features come, you need to kind of go back and say, no, not for you, not for new, not for you, kind of, yeah, in your code. It's not for WordPress 5.1 or 2 or 3 or 4, but it's only for 5.6 and 7. We're coming to code quality changes. And it seems that there are quite a few that you could be talking about.
Yeah, so I highlighted changes for the API fetch that we discussed in the last episode. So there was some follow-up on that front. So now there is a user autocompleter component that doesn't, in the block editor, that doesn't use this API fetch directly, but the abstraction built on top of that. And the same applies to the latest post block. So, you know, those things are in motion and very quickly are changed in the WordPress. And there is also, there are new components that were, I mean, those components were experimental. This is the gradient picker and the custom gradient picker. So those two components are now considered stable. So everyone is encouraged to try them out and use in their projects. And the backward compatibility will be assured from now on.
All right. And this is the keyword for me. It's like gradients. I love gradients. Yes. And I like that we have them in Gutenberg so much. Yeah. And then there were some additional tool changes, 16 of them, for testing dependencies and workflows. And so now previously skipped widget tests are now enabled.
Yeah, there's some back and forth. I highlighted those items that I consider interesting, that some tests were enabled, they're disabled, enabled again. So it's very important for the project to have a reliable verification from end-to-end tests, unit tests, and all sorts of tests that you can come up with. So it's a very strong emphasis to have that, you know, always be something that you can look at and say, okay, it's working. I can just merge the change. Because otherwise, with the so many contributors, it would be impossible to keep the pace.
Yeah, keep the pace and not, I have to go back and do regression testing as well, which you do. Yes. Yeah.
But there are also some new tests added, and that's, I encourage everyone, if they want to figure out how they could contribute with code. So finding a piece of UI interaction that isn't covered with test and writing an end-to-end test, it's a great experience in both to see how this automation works, how you can see the interactive mode and look how computer is just doing user interactions in your Chrome browser. That's a really nice experience and really rewarding when you make it go and the test passes and all the verifications are checked.
It's instant gratification. And what can be better than that, right? Yeah, I have found that that's my programming style, is I need instant gratification. I can't wait till everything is compiled and all that. And yeah, that's why HTML was so fabulous for me. I can see it right away.
With CSS, it's even better.
It's even better.
Just open DevTools and just change something, and you know that it works.
Yeah, and you can change it. For only for you, and you don't have to even publish the code for it. Yeah.
The last item I had is just mostly for us when we are going through the changelog, is that now those, as I said, some of the experiments that were moved to the stable features. So that's why we don't see as many items in that list.
Yeah. And I think what's also was on the list, but we kind of skipped it, is that the changelog automation, when the plugin is released, yeah, there is now a process there to look at each automation process, to look at each PR and classify it and as a, at the different categories and then put it into the block library. So when you read through the release notes, you can better identify what the change actually was about and have some of the changes clustered in one category. So I really like that. And there's some great work to be done there.
Yeah, I think that we should see that in 2 weeks when the new changelog is generated, because you know that it was too late to use those changes for the release. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to it, because it will have a better grouping and that will improve the reading experience.
So that was then the Gutenberg 11.1. And yeah, go out and test it and try it and work with it. I don't know how many of you use Gutenberg actually in production. I do on many sites, and I have yet to have to return to a previous version, but I also know where the pitfalls are, so that I can work around and say, no, that doesn't work, don't do it. To some of the code editors. So, that gets us into the what's an active development and what's discussed. Hector Prieto has skipped the what's next focus post that comes out every month for July, for the beginning of July, because of all the work that was to be done for WordPress 5.8, and everybody was focused on that. So he published just also this week the new site editor status check for late July, so for 1 week, and then for the whole of August, which is the focus project. And you had a quote that you found interesting. So
I reached out to Hector and asked him about higher level overview. So the main idea is to turn a page after 5.8 from the classic FSA foundational work to a new iteration that focuses, apart from remaining things like navigation, on design tools, patterns, and all kinds of interactions that improve and ease the user experience as the editor complexity grows.
Yeah, so that means that for the site in editing infrastructure, there were a few focuses. One is the template previewing, making it easier for people to see what they're doing. Then the browse mode, that's a new mode, I think. And then mosaic view for theme templates. So you get a like cards from the theme template, so you can choose them and you hopefully also I saw some early mockups of that where you see some preview of how it looks, how each template looks, so you can select the right one. And then restrict the block editing capabilities based on context. That's certainly important when you have a block that's used on a page, or a block that's used, for instance, in a block template or widget setting. And also if it's an inner block or an outer block or with a query loop block, I think that that comes very much into fruition there.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to see the browse mode, because it essentially allows you to navigate with the links that are on the page. So you can just go from the home screen and see how it looks, like go to the about page, change something there, go to the contact page, change something there. It's like, it will be very smooth experience once this is in action.
Oh, that sounds almost like a front end editing, but in the editor. So I like to see that. Yes. Yeah. And one other part is certainly the global styles. Now we have global styles was always two parts. Yeah. One was what then became the theme JSON feature, where you have a central place for theme developers to have all the settings for a certain theme. And that's in a configuration file. But the second part was for a user to change global styles with an user interface in the sidebar of the site editor. And it has been an experiment, I think, since last December or November already, but that is now make it ready for more users to test it and get it out of the experiments into the plugin and then make it ready for 5.9, hopefully, that will come out in December.
So just to clarify, is it this feature that is has its own sidebar presence in the site editor, right?
That's a global style.
And it probably builds on top of TeamJSON, so that only stores the customizations you make to the theme.
Right, and if you, the theme could actually allow you to have multiple color palettes, but then it gives you that interface to change it up and then react to it. I think it's a big task to get this right and get it interesting for a user to actually pursue that, but also to not be all things to all people. Yeah, that's kind of a direct a balance to strike there. But yeah, that's one of the focus items that Hector Prieto highlighted in his post. Oh, and I'm just going to look. He has more, other things as well. One is the theme blocks that have more of the post-date, post-excerpt, post-feature, post-content kind of blocks for the query block. And also, the site header, site title and the header things are already in there, but they, of course, need to be refined. And then the query loop block will get some enhancement. Then another focus is the navigation block and editor screen and the site editing gradual adoption, which needs to be kind of seen how can a theme move from a classic theme over a hybrid theme to be a universal theme or a block-based full-site editing theme only. All those interactions are to be discussed and worked on. Yeah, there are even more. Yeah, the whole post is, I think, about 3,000 words long. It's a milestone to look at that. Okay, we know that and what's coming up, and we are not done yet. It's kind of, we are not there yet, and there are quite a few things to be done.
I think it's so big because it more covers the scope of the WordPress 5.9 release, at least what's, in plans. And rather than something that you can realistically do in August when people on the north of the globe spend the time during summer vacation. So I don't expect so much movement in that areas, but it's great to see the vision for the release. And, everyone can just focus on their area of interest and drill down it later throughout the year and get involved in those parts.
It's really a great way to learn more about the details of all those things that might come for 5.9 or even 6.0, because we will have something like what we had in April, where we go look at all the features, or the team is going to look at all the features and said, is it ready yet? Is it ready yet? Or do we punt it for 6.0? So the feature lead, if such a thing is actually there. Robert Anderson has an overview issue on GitHub now with what's next for the widget editor. Now that's in core, what are the things to be worked on? And so that's definitely something to look through, because it's how to smooth out the rough edges, improve performance and stability, and improve extensibility for all the plugin developers out there that now want to extend the widget editor or the widget sections. So that's a good overview issue, and see what's all worked on. And of course, we share that all in the show notes. And what I found was a little bit put on the waist, on the side, was the gallery refactor for the gallery block that switches from to have nested image blocks in the gallery rather than create the images over and over. But we haven't gone further with that. it hasn't been merged with the Gutenberg plugin yet. It's still out there. So, but it's I'm really excited about it, and I have been excited since I started testing it because it has so much more potential, and I'm really looking forward to that. I think I'm going to go back to that and see if I can assist in some more testing there.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's mostly about backward compatibility. That's the only challenge that is making this process so difficult, and that's why it takes so long.
No, I totally get it. I was not trying to be impatient. I know the last 10% normally take 80% of the time that it takes, yeah, to build something like that. But it's just, it would be such an enriched experience for a content creator that it's worth spending time on and getting it right, of course, yeah.
Yeah, I think everyone is aware that you could now use list view and use drag and drop to move your image to the gallery or move out of the gallery. And it's like, I'll reorder some of the images. There's so much potential when you start using those concepts.
Yeah, just to apply the image styles, yeah, that you have a gallery of headshots that you can make round for a conference or, yeah, just a little event or so that you have. It's just a nice experience. Yeah,
maybe groups inside the gallery, so you could create columns, groups, whatever. It's like, you know, it's so exciting to think about all the possibilities that opens.
Yeah, and I like that creativity. So when we can do that, can we do other things? Yeah. So that's pretty much, we are on the end of the show. For all those that are on holiday and on vacation and outside and away from the keyboard and still listening to it, we're so happy you're here. And when you get back to the computer, you have so much great things to test out and work on. Do you have any last announcements or things that you wouldn't be able to, weren't able to get in before that, Jagosh?
No, it's, I think we cover everything.
Excellent. Yeah. So as always, the show notes will be published on the GutenbergTimes.com/podcast. This is episode 48. And if you have questions, suggestions, or news you want us to include, send them to changelog@GutenbergTimes.com. That's changelog@GutenbergTimes.com. And
so we would like also to hear about our show and whether you like it or not. So we are looking forward for all the reviews so we can improve the what we cover in here. And we are always happy to hear your feedback.
Good point. Thanks so much for taking that on. Well, thank you all for being here. Thank you, Craig, for spending time on this and working hard on this. And it was a pleasure talking to you. And thanks everybody for listening. Goodbye.
Likewise. Thank you very much, Birgit. And see you in 2 weeks.
All right. Bye.